It has been a weird summer, and everything still feels like it's changing every day. The chaos has been reflected in our music, where the number one Billboard slot has felt like a rotating door of hits.
I'm a savage, classy, bougie, ratchet, sassy, moody, nasty, hacking, stupid. What was happening? What was happening?
So that's Megan Thee Stallion's Savage, The Weeknd's Blinding Light, and Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar. To talk about finding summer's great song in a season of chaos, we have two guests. We have Tim Riley, a music critic with NPR and associate professor at Emerson College. Tim, welcome.
Hi there.
Also, we have Prince Charles Alexander, an acclaimed recording and mixing engineer who's worked with the likes of Mary J. Blige, Destiny's Child, Notorious B.I.G., Aretha Franklin. He's also a performing artist in the 1980s and now teaches at the Berklee College of Music. Welcome, PC.
Welcome. This is actually my home, Boston. So, you know, I've been around BUR all my life. This is really a great opportunity.
Well, it's a treat to have you. And listeners, we want to ask you, what is your song of the summer, or maybe songs, because it feels like, you know, there's a lot going on. You might want different feels on different days. How have your listening habits changed? Call us with all of it, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And as we dive into this, young listeners, parents who may be listening to this, I do want to give you a heads up. Some of the songs we will talk about do touch on adult themes today. So heads up about that. PC, I'll start with you. It has been a weird summer. How has that been reflected in the music people are listening to?
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place. You know, hip-hop started to dominate pop music in 2017. Officially, it became the number one genre. And hip-hop has a polyrhythmic thing that it does with tempo. You can have something that's at 90 beats per minute, but you can program it at 180. So you could look at the song in either one of those ways. Prior to probably 2018, popular music was either at 120 where you were dancing or 90 where you were kind of like cooled out and chill in the summer. And we actually started to slow down from 120 into the 90s as we went from into 2014, 15, all up to 2020. And then around 17, hip hop really took over and gave us this multiplicity of tempos. So I'm not sure whether people dance to music or sip margaritas to music or what these days, but I know that we're all over the place and there's always been a breakout hit every summer. This summer feels strange.
So Tim, you know, May to mid-June, there were six different songs that took the number one spot in 6 weeks. It's the first time there's been kind of that level of movement at the chart's top position since 1990. Last year, we know there was kind of a coalescing around Old Town Road, which was an undeniable hit. But this year, nothing seems to be sticking that way. Why do you think that is?
Well, the music business has been in great flux the past few years. So tectonic plates of how music is produced and consumed keep shifting. Then you throw COVID quarantine on top of that. So yeah, it's, you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy time and you're throwing in extra crazy. What's fun about this summer is that Megan Thee Stallion had the hit to beat with Savage, which was already like a pretty dominant, you know, and it looked like it was going to be the song of the summer. And then she actually outdid herself by coming out with this WAP song. And it's, you know, that's really something when somebody's actually got a soaring hit and they actually outdo themselves. I really like what PC was saying about how I think the tempo to the WAP song is actually slower.
Yeah.
Okay.
WAP.
So let's talk.
Let
me set this up for our listeners a little bit so WAP, to be clear, we can't play it. We can't quote it. We can't tell you what it stands for, but we will say it's a song from Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion that is all about female sexual pleasure. And it has taken hold in the last, you know, little while here. So PC, go ahead.
So I was going to say that WAP is doing what many of us do in the music business. We, you know, we borrow on successful themes. Old Town Road was at a slowed down 68 halftime, which is 136 double time. WAP is at 68 halftime, 136 double time. So, you know, just be trying to be successful in 2020 and doing that nod back to 2019, it looks like Cardi and her team looked at Old Town Road, at its success, and tried to manufacture a summer hit. And I think they did an excellent job.
So I'm struck by you saying that, because the beats per minute is not what people are really talking about with that song. And I do wonder, I mean, it is rattling cages. And Tim, Tim, PC, I'll ask you both. How big of a deal is that? It's not the first time we've had women talking about their sexuality, but there is something different here, and it is raw. What does that say about women in music, women rappers, the summer of 2020? Tim, why don't you go first?
Well, you know, it seems old hat to me, but I've been watching pop music for a long time. But anytime a big famous female star aggressively announces her sexuality, her desire, that outrages a lot of people. But people always freak out about that. They freaked out about it with Tina Turner. They freaked out about it with Madonna. They freaked out about it with Lady Gaga. It's kind of it's on a loop, right? And it's a surefire way. It's an aspect of the song that I think is kind of lessens it, is it's kind of a novelty. You know, it's kind of like, it's like twerking, right? It just is a rehash of the old twerking thing.
A controversy that weirdly Miley Cyrus wound up bringing to the American people a couple of summers ago.
Four or five years ago, which is very physically explicit, and this is very lyrically explicit. But, you know, it's, why do we call it explicit? Men do it, and we don't call it explicit. It's only explicit when females do it.
So, let me weigh in on that, because, you know, the Ying Yang Twins had a song called The Whisper Song, which was pretty explicit. Two Live Crew in the 80s were doing some really radical stuff also. This is not new. What is a little bit different is the accessibility that Cardi has as a popular icon. She is granted something that the Ying Yang Twins didn't have. Even Luther Campbell, like, I knew about the Two Live Crew's music, but you had to go find it. I don't have to go find WAP. It's in my face because I'm studying popular music all the time. That's very different. Male or female, you know, the sexuality aside, the fact that she is an accessible artist and is now taking this adult-themed composition to the top of the charts is a radical departure. And for me, as a parent that has a 9-year-old daughter, I don't think I've played pop music in my car for my daughter yet. But if I do, that song might pop on, and now I'm going to be thrust into a conversation I might not have wanted to have with my daughter at this moment. So there's a piece of my parenting that I've got to be even hypervigilant now, because the popular music charts are throwing something at all of us and, you know, starting some conversations.
I'd like to go to the phones here because they are blowing up. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Yuna on the line from Brighton. Yuna, go ahead.
Hi. So I just wanted to say what a big role I think social media plays in what songs are popular nowadays, because I'm in my 20s. I don't really listen to the radio anymore. So the only way I discover new music is basically through Instagram and TikTok. And I feel like the songs that blow up now are songs that have really popular TikTok dances, because that's what I see on my feed over and over and over again. So, like, in particular for Megan Thee Stallion, the reason Savage is such a huge song was because there was this dance that, like, everybody on TikTok was trying to do.
Thanks for that, Yuna. So let me bring it back, and I'm going to play a little bit more of Savage for us, and then let's talk about that, about how social media, maybe more than the Billboard charts right now, are the king and queen makers. Here's Savage.
I'm a savage. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Sassy, moody, nasty. Acting stupid. What's happening? What was happening? I'm a savage.
Okay, so I gotta admit, that is an earworm of a song, and if you've watched the dance, it kind of makes you want to try. So what is it, especially when you're not hearing songs ubiquitously in outdoor radios, at restaurants, in malls, what is social media doing to how we're experiencing what a great song is and how we converge on a song of the summer, Tim?
Well, so what's really fun is to think of that the dance craze is sort of making a comeback through TikTok and these other things. It used to, you know, in the early 60s, dance crazes really were another, they were the driver. And we just haven't, we haven't seen this in a long, long time. So it's sort of nostalgic to see it happening again. And TikTok has sort of made dance routines and funny dance moves like a different kind of eye candy, right? They're really just fun to watch. You go down these rabbit holes watching all these people do these cool moves.
PC, social media is much more fractured than when we, you know, hearing a song in a stadium, for example, when you're all there for a sporting event. Can we have the kind of summer convergence around a single song when social media is driving what we're hearing and consuming?
We can, and I actually think that WAP might be that song, which is a little bit scary. Prior to WAP, it did feel fractured to me in 2020. But that song might be doing something. But, you know, we still, there's still a few more weeks left, and there won't be a 19-week composition like Old Town Road. That's clear. But there might be, WAP might lead us into the fall. I'm still, you know, I'm still checking this one out.
Still waiting to see. All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll take a few calls here, 800-423-8255. Randy in Somerville, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to build on the fact of where we get our songs. My summer jam has been When the Morning Comes from Hall & Oates, and I got that at the end of the movie Palm Springs on Hulu. And it has just a beautiful vocal harmony, and it's about a sort of a soothing balm to sort of the daily set of traumas that are seem to be inflicted. And it's like, maybe tomorrow will be better.
Well, that sounds great, Randy. Thank you for that. And we've got Jonathan from Cambridge. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hi, another song about female empowerment is Ferris Wheel by Sylvanesso. It's got great earworms and a fantastic dance beat.
Thanks, Jonathan. And let's take one more. Let's take Pierce from Jamaica Plain.
Hello. So first of all, I just wanted to completely agree with the first caller. I know there's been a little bit of back and forth about that, but like all music, I'm 19 years old, and all music for my generation, like the top hits, all come from TikTok now. But in terms of the music I've been listening to this summer, I've been taking it back to a lot of oldies music, the Eagles, Doobie Brothers, Billy Joel, James Taylor, all that kind of stuff.
Going old school, Pierce. All right. So what I heard, I mean, it makes me want to hear every single one of those songs right now from all the callers. But Tim and PC, what are we hungering for in the music that we're turning to right now? PC.
So that's why I started off with tempo, because it's a danceability. There's a movement factor. I won't even call it danceability, but a movement, a choreograph factor that's going on with this TikTok scene, because Old Town Road was successful on TikTok also. Of course, Savage, of course, WAP has been parodied. I even saw a young lady that did Waffles and Pancakes as her kids bop version of WAP, and I thought that was kind of cute. But there is a movability, a danceability. And there is something about, for me, studying the rhythms of these compositions and how it plays into body movement that is kind of even goes all the way back to Michael Jackson, that I feel the visual aspect that started in 1980 with MTV now lives in TikTok. And it's like these very, very short 30-second sound bites. And it's the culmination of where we've been trying to go with our technology for for many, many decades now.
Yeah,
and Tim,
I agree.
What do you think? Yeah, go.
I agree with all that, and I think there's also the cocktail for the summer single has always been this combination of romance and escapism, and like equating the free for all joy of summer, the liberation of summer, "School's Out" by Alice Cooper, right, or "Good Vibrations" by the Beach Boys. It's always been linked to romance. It's that heady feeling of romance, and when you have a summer romance, that's when you hit the bullseye. But what's interesting about WAP and even Savage is that these are not romance songs. These are just pure escapist songs, right? Mm. And I think that really we're tilting towards the escapist fantasies being quarantined, which makes a lot of sense.
So one of the things that I wanted to ask each of you was if you could go sort of anywhere in time and ask an artist to make the song of this summer, who do you wish you could hear from right now, PC?
I think it would be Marvin Gaye, because Marvin Gaye is the consummate vocalist and the consummate music producer. and it would probably be sexy, though. it would probably be as adult themed as WAP, but mm-hmm. you know, he would bring it. He would bring it.
How about you, Tim?
You know, I think one of the great summer singles is Bruce Springsteen's "Girls in Their Summer Clothes," and I think that was a very sort of self-conscious pitch at like, I want to write a summer single for myself. And I think he really nailed it with that. He's also been putting together these radio shows that everyone started listening to. So he's doing it in a different kind of way. And it's, again, he's blending a sort of romance, the idea of like music brings us comfort, it nourishes us, and also escapism. Like we need to get out, we need to get into our minds and escape this dull daily reality we're all trapped in.
So, PC, I want to come back to Marvin Gaye for a minute. I'm going to play a portion here of his 1971 song, What's Going On.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Okay, in truth, I really just want to play that song through the end of the show. We can all sit and listen together. But, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic. We are in the middle of a massive reckoning on race. And none of the songs really that we've been talking about that are out this summer that have caught on are anthems of our moment. Why do you think that is, PC?
That's a great question. And it's something I've been pondering. I think it has to do with the corporatization of our industry. And, you know, there's also a little bit of not really knowing where the revenue is coming from. We know that streaming is generating something. We know that sales are generating something. And we know that radio play, even though people are not into radio, radio is still a big driver of advertising. The corporate model has just changed the way that artists access the large distribution that record labels grant them. And is it being perverted? And by whom are the questions I'm always asking myself? Are the artists saying, please let me do something profane and pornographic? Or are the labels saying, you know, the more of a car accident it looks like, the more traction we get with likes. So maybe we need to move over into this other lane where things are kind of crazy looking, and never mind any of that empowerment stuff and any of that dealing with sociology stuff. Let's just deal with all these destroyed concepts. You know, it's something that I'm thinking about all the time. And, you know, I have this saying, follow the cheese. The mice are following the cheese, and the cheese is the money. So there's a lot behind that.
So, Tim, in our last, 30 seconds or so, I'll just give you a chance to build on or respond to that.
All right. So there is this really wonderful remix that a guy named I. Marquise did of a Cardi B track, and it's called Coronavirus. So part of the problem is getting this stuff turned around really, quickly. And the other song I thought might take off is Mickey Guyton's Black Like Me, which was done before the virus hit and the protest, but is still really just a giant bullseye and would have made a great ballad summer single.
All right, that's Tim Riley, music critic with NPR and associate professor at Emerson, and Prince Charles Alexander, an acclaimed recording and mixing engineer, now teaching at Berklee College of Music. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.